Hey, folks, thanks for tuning back into the Eye on College Football podcast here on CBSSports.com. I am your host, Chip Patterson. And as we move into the offseason, one of the storylines that pops up every single year, and really is going to, at least for the foreseeable future, is all about conference realignment. And ever since the Big Ten had their very public expansion to sort of kick things off, everything else has happened behind closed doors. The Big 12 met this week behind closed doors to discuss sort of what the future of that current 10-team member conference could be. And Ann Irving slash Dallas at the beautiful hotel was our man, CBSSports.com college football insider Jeremy Fowler, and he joins us today. Jeremy, what was the scene like down there? I know these can be very tense meetings sometimes, but is the Big 12 different?
I think so. You know, the Big 12 knows it's been a pretty unique but pretty safe spot. You know, they only have 10 teams, so some people think that they would be susceptible to getting poached down the road, but I don't necessarily think that's the case. I mean, they're 10 teams that are making a lot of money right now, about $26 million a year with combined bowl TV revenue, all that stuff, which is the highest per team. So, you know, I think the tone of the meeting was that we're very happy to attend, we're in a really good place, but let's break down all the options so we're not caught off guard in case we do have to jump in and grab somebody. So, you know, based on what I could gather, they threw out scenarios based on what the Big Ten and the SEC might do. I think the thought there was that the SEC would only move if the Big Ten moves. I mean, everybody's waiting on Jim Delaney to get weird, you know.
Yeah.
if he's going to do that, then everything changes. And I think he's probably already tried with some overtures to some schools in the SEC, but it hasn't worked yet other than with Maryland, you know, because they're in such a dire spot financially. So it's kind of a weird game where everybody's waiting. I don't think these conferences want to expand, but they don't want to be left out. I mean, it's kind of survival mode. Even though you're making crazy money, you always have to be protecting your conference because it could fold if things get really crazy and you're not prepared. You know, so I think that was the theme. You know, they looked at options of, okay, here are the teams that will be available based on what the Big Ten and SEC might do.
And it's, when did this turn into a big game of risk? Just in sort of the whole tale of the way this everything's unfolded, because first it seemed to be that, you know, you want to get to 12 to get the championship game, and now it's not even about trying to get a championship game, as we see with the Big 12. Sure, they tried to get a motion to see if they could hold one at 10, but it seems like they're not even really antsy to try and set that up if they were to get it at 10.
Well, I think they looked at how the game panned out this year. The problem is, if you're the SEC, you have this spectacle every year, this great game that you roll out and everybody watches it. But these other conference championship games, I mean, they're kind of duds, right?
Yeah.
The Pac-12, ACC, all these games, I mean, do you really want to watch them? You know, I could name 20 bowls that were probably more fun to watch. So that's the problem. I think Bob Bolger, the commissioner, recognizes that a little bit, that, you know, they're not bringing a whole lot of extra money. The one argument the Big 12 would have to do it, and I think they've at least talked about this, is if you go to 12 teams and you get a conference championship game, it can help you if you're on the fence, you know, in the coming college football playoff, to be in that top four, you know, to be a semifinal berth, you got to things go your way. I mean, you look at Kansas State this last year. I want to say they were fifth at the end of the year in the BCS standings. I could be wrong on that, but point is, even if you're fourth or fifth, you want to guarantee you can get in that top four, you get the playoff money. And right now, if you lose one game in the Big 12, you fall way back in line, you know.
Yeah.
Or the SEC, you can afford to lose one. So I think that they consider that, hey, if we get a championship game and our one-loss team gets another impressive win, then it will help. It will give them just enough of a resume boost to get in the top four. I think that's the one sentiment for a championship game, but otherwise I don't think they really want it at all.
Now, one of those things when the new 14 playoff comes in is that a lot of the bowl agreements are going to be up and it will be time to renew, or what it's looking like is there will be a shift. And, you know, that's from one of the things that you were talking about in your blog post. Big 12 wants to get a spot in Florida, but we've seen earlier how the Big Ten would probably like to shuffle around their bowl ties and how their bowl draw could be one of the reasons why they've had such low performance. What do you see as the future when the new playoff is put in? How the cards are going to start falling with the Florida bowls, with the Cotton Bowl? You know, lots of moving pieces right now.
Sure. You know, there's a lot of there are a lot of scenarios being thrown out there. I mean, I've even talked to some bowl execs who have come up with formulas of hey, let's take the top 12 non-BCS bowls and give, and then rank the next 24 teams after that and mix and match them and throw them in bowls, you know, and have it just kind of this fun, unpredictable ordeal. That sounds great, but you have so much tradition with a lot of these bowls, and people talk about change, but I think that's a that's something that goes incrementally. You know, I don't know if you're going to see a drastic shift in the bowl season. You're going to see some changes. I mean, these conferences know they have to mix it up a little bit. The main thing they want to avoid, I mean, they want to maximize their dollar. Okay, that's important, and you have to have good matchups to do that. But they also don't want to have to play in the same spot or the same team 2 or 3 years in a row. That's the big problem I think that we're seeing. You know, if you look at Nebraska, you know, they didn't want to travel to the Capital One Bowl. They couldn't sell tickets, and you think that'd be a great bowl for them. But sometimes it's just like, well, in this economy, do we really want to travel, pay $1,700 or whatever it's going to cost to get there? You know, to play Georgia, we might lose anyways. It's an SEC team. You know, it's just these fan bases need incentives. Reasons to go. So I think that's going to be the main thing. But I don't know if you're going to see some seismic shift in all bowl agreements. I think there will still be some tried and true agreements between bowls and conferences that have been around for a while.
Do you think that bowls are involved in this possible Big 12 ACC alliance? And what exactly, from your understanding, are some of the possibilities from this suggestion, which came first from Bowlesby, and then when you spoke to some people before the meeting began, it was actually the first that they had heard of it. Had the tone changed at all afterwards? And what do you think could possibly come about with this this Big 12 ACC tie?
Yeah, I know the Big 12 is very attracted to the idea. You know, I think that all the ADs liked it. It is kind of a way to maybe stave off expansion to what degree, I don't know, but at least, you know, you can have some help there. The idea I get is that the Big 12 doesn't want to just wreck the ACC, but if the Big Ten's going to do it, then, you know, maybe the Big 12 will pick at the carcass, so to speak. You know, and it's kind of an inexact science that way, but I think the main idea with this alliance is not some sort of 24-team league, you know. It's basically to get a couple bowl matchups. I see the Russell Athletic Bowl is a place the Big 12 could very well slide into in replace of the Big East and play the ACC. That's one example. To enhance the bowl matchups and then kind of get to some kind of non-conference schedule agreement. You know, I thought of some FSU boosters, actually, that were pretty excited about this possibility because they want to be a national traveling brand, the Seminoles, and I think the boosters would like to be able to go to a Kansas State or somewhere random, you know, just to kind of play an interesting game, you know, and not have the same old matchups every year. So I think that's what you'll see. So it will tweak the scheduling, but I don't think it's going to be some massive 2014 conference by any means.
Yeah, certainly not that. But it's funny because we're sitting here, and like you said, you know, just a second ago, at the very beginning of the podcast. So we're all sitting around waiting to see if Jim Delaney's going to get weird, because if he doesn't decide that he's going to take, whether it's a Virginia, North Carolina, Georgia Tech, three schools all in the AAU, if they don't do that, then the ACC has the ammo to possibly line up with the Big 12. But you're saying if he does, then all of a sudden the old Clemson, Florida State, Louisville, you know, those sort of popular topics, that becomes – those rumors will get fired up again. And we're sitting here in this calm. Do you think that there will be one move? What does your gut tell you has the best chance of happening, whether it's the ACC getting raided or this this tie going through?
You know, part of me says that there is going to be a little bit of stability for a while. You know, talk to me in a year or two.
Yeah.
I think eventually this will certainly change, and the ACC will lose a couple more schools. But right now, I do think they're okay, and here's why. I think Jim Delaney has maybe been more aggressive than people think that he's let on, even in recent months, maybe. I think they've tried to maybe get a Georgia Tech, or at least that's kind of that's been the momentum or the rumor, so to speak. You see it all over message boards, things like that. Nothing substantiated. You know, no school has come out and said, hey, we're getting quarterbacked by the Big Ten, but there are whispers out there that they were going after those what are they called, AAU schools, you know, American University Association. It's like a, you know, it's an academic thrust. Schools like UNC, of course, UVA, Duke, they're all affiliated. So the Big Ten only takes those kind of schools, or at least they've never branched off from AAU schools. So they're going to target them. And the Big 12 spoke about this in their meetings. Hey, if the Big Ten is going to go after some schools, they're going to go AAU. And so they're going to look at Virginia and Duke and all them. And it's already been rumored that they have been looking at them. I think, to some extent, those schools don't want to rip apart the ACC right now. So they're saying, hey, we're going to stay put. You know, we're not making outrageous money like the Big Ten, or at least the projections of the Big Ten, but we're still making very good money, enough to survive. So for now, let's stay put. Now, it's not going to be in a year or two, but I do think there's going to be some stability because of that. I don't think the Big 12 or the SEC are going to initiate anything. It's going to be more of a gentleman's agreement. That's just my take right now, off a hunch. But, you know, the problem is when you start throwing a lot of money around, and you can change somebody's mind. So Maryland was in a really dire situation, and nobody else in the ACC is really like that, except maybe, surprisingly, FSU, because they've got some budgetary problems. You know, I think that would be the one wild card. But does the Big Ten want to add a non-AAU school? So there are so many factors involved. My hunch is that it's going to be a little bit longer, but it will eventually happen.
Right. The long time connection has always been drawn from Florida State to the Big 12, which is why it makes, you know, perfect sense that Florida State is, you know, completely down with the idea of some sort of scheduling agreement, even for a non-conference game, because it moves them from no longer being the, you know, the girl just like out there trying to holler for a date, because, you know, that's the way it has seemed at times across the last couple years, particularly when Florida State is one of those teams, along with Maryland, to vote against the hike in the exit fees.
Right. The thing about Florida State, too, is that I'm not so convinced that, well, they have a lot of factors to consider, and obviously money is a big one, but when you look at their donor base, I mean, it's really ACC, SEC country. I don't know if they have any ties to the Big 12. I think that's important to remember. You know, they, I don't know how much incentive there is other than money to go to the Big 12. Yeah, you might be in a stronger conference in some regards, but you're right on the coast right now in that area, and you know, a lot of your fan base is there, or at least helps them for now. I think they would go to the SEC in a heartbeat. Maybe a lot of schools would, but I think they would drop tomorrow if they had a chance to the SEC. I don't think that they will. I don't know if the SEC will give them that chance, but that's just my feeling.
Yeah. No, that definitely makes sense. Speaking of exit fees, everybody is watching these competing lawsuits between the ACC and Maryland. I understand the story and the narrative, and saying that, you know, this could have a huge impact on what other conferences decide to do, particularly when it comes to the ACC being rated. I'm struggling to see how we are going to get any clear-cut definition just from the way that we've seen these lawsuits and exit fees handled in the past. Do you see any result one way or another that would either help or hurt the ACC?
Well, I think eventually they're going to have to solve that case. I mean, it's a pending lawsuit right now, but the problem is there's no trial date. It hasn't really progressed. It's just, I think the ACC threw out their money that they feel is ironclad. They're entitled to that $50 million. I think they even raised it to $52 based on some extenuating circumstances. They knew Maryland was going to counter and fight it. So here they are. It's going to launch eventually, but not right now. It's kind of in a holding pattern from what I understand. So, you know, the problem is for the ACC, and this is thinking way down the road, but $50 million in 10 years isn't going to be nearly as much as it is now. You know, so will that be just chump change eventually? Right now it's enough to really make another conference think twice. But there's so many ways you can hide that money or structure that money. I don't know. I know I was looking at the Big East situation with West Virginia. I think they settled on $20 million, but yet the Big East exit fee was much lower than $50 million. I want to say it was as low as $5 million. So, you know, the Big East made out pretty well. The ACC could do the same. But if you have to settle with Maryland at, say, $30 million or something, then that could change things. It might be at least worth the Big Ten waiting on the situation. But, you know, there's so much money thrown around. You can always put it on the back end and take out of your new school's media rights fees. That's how the Sunday D's. I think that's what the Big Ten will do with Maryland. So you never know. I mean, there are ways around it, and maybe it won't hinder conferences in the future, but I think it makes them at least think twice.
Yeah, that's sort of where my thinking was, and that following all the different breakups, whether it's TCU, West Virginia, you know, either being there or splitting, just reading through those, and you know, then all of a sudden the move is just made and it's settled, and there, like you said, you can figure out different ways to do it. And I've got this gut feeling that the ACC would spend $50 million to get $50 million one way or another. That there's as much of a philosophical battle going on as a legal battle when it comes to this particular split.
Sure, they're going to fight for it. There's no doubt about that. I think you're right. And another thing to remember is, you know, they thought on their talks with their lawyers, they even considered a grant of rights, you know, what the Big 12 has, but they felt that the $50 million was better, and that was the recommendation they got from their lawyers. Do this exit deal, be ironclad, and so here they are now. You know, they better hope their lawyers are right.
Yeah, there's some attorney's office in Greensboro that's working around the clock right now on this case, no doubt.
I'm sure.
What's all right? So speaking of money, the 26.2, that is a number for, that's Forbes's number, I believe, and it is the idea of all the rights taken in, and the fact that you're splitting it up between teams. The Big 12, which may not collect the most money, pays out the most because it is, you know, 10 teams instead of 12 or 14. How solid do you think that number is? That seems to me like it's become a sticking point and a measuring stick as you look at a Florida State, a Clemson, a Louisville, any other team that you would consider for expansion is held up to not just any measuring stick, but $26.2 million a year. I don't know if there's any team there that could add that kind of revenue to the Big 12.
Right, and that's an interesting number. I mean, certainly the Big 12 is paying out a lot because they only have 10 teams instead of 12, and that certainly factors into it. They don't have the best TV deal. They have a very good TV deal. Big 10, of course, has the room to make the most. So, you know, that number, the 26.2, according to Forbes, is based on some bowl revenue and some other factors. I want to say their TV deal pays out just below $20 million a year, maybe 19. And so it's, I don't have it in front of me, but it, you know, it's not as substantial as that 26.2 million looks on paper. Certainly, it behooves the Big Ten or the Big 12 to throw out that number, you know, because it makes them look good. And yeah, they've earned that number, but you have to consider that it's 10 teams. And so, if you bring in a Florida State, I don't know how that couldn't maximize your value. You know, I'm trying to think of some ways against it. I mean, I know they've had some budgetary concerns. But that doesn't really hurt their net worth, so to speak. So, you know, I think that you could bring in schools that would bring in value, not very many. But I would think FSU, based on their brand, would be one of them.
Yeah, that's true. All right, Jeremy, we're going to send you out of here on this. Of all the different possibilities, and it does seem as though, you know, every conference is creating what-if scenarios and their doomsday plans and what they're going to do, you know, you've heard a lot, I'm sure, with all your different sources. There have been a lot of suggestions. What does your gut say is the next major piece to fall, next major domino to fall in conference realignment?
I'm trying to think of something new. I mean, I wonder if there'd be a wild card like a Pac-12 making a move. I just don't see it. So, you know, I really think it's all in the Big Ten at this point, you know, because everybody's waiting on them. Yeah, I mean, I would say they go after two teams in the SEC. I mean, I know that script's already been written, but that seems like the logical move. Can't really make an argument against it. But, you know, again, I really could see some stability for a while, maybe a year, maybe longer. I don't know. It's so unpredictable to forecast this kind of thing. But it seems like, based on what the Ohio State president said, I guess, in some notes that the Columbus Dispatch had, that it's going to happen. You know, there's so many signs. I mean, the Michigan State AD said publicly that 16 is a better number for that league. You know, there are too many arguments for them to try to get two more. I just don't know if they're able to pull it off yet. I don't wonder if they've been trying and can't do it yet, because the schools they're trying to get have been embedded in the ACC for a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, granted, for now, these kind of things can be a slow death, okay? the ACC, let's say they lose two teams, as long as they still have, you know, I really think Florida State and Clemson are huge in this. As long as they have those two, because those two teams recruit the best, and they, and, you know, they're going to play the best on the field. You know, you still have Miami to make a comeback, and you still have some good parts. I think they got better with Louisville.
I agree.
To be honest, people forget that. You know, Maryland looks bad on paper losing a team like that, but you know, Louisville's a better product right now. They got Charlie Strong locked up for a long time. So you can still survive, certainly. It's that slow death scenario, you know. It's like, okay, what's next? So, you know, I'm not totally nagging on the ACC. I think they got some time and they got a chance, you know, but it's, problem is, if Jim Delaney is promising $16 more million a year down the road, that eventually might be hard for somebody to pass up.
Yep. That's right. He is Jeremy Fowler. Follow him on his blog for all of his updates throughout the off season. Jeremy, I appreciate you hopping back on the Eye on College Football podcast.
Anytime, Chip. Thanks for having me, man.
Remember, you can get all of the Eye on College Football podcasts on iTunes. Go there, subscribe, review, rate. And if you've got a comment or question, you can email it to podcast@cbsinteractive.com. For Jeremy Fowler, I'm Chip Patterson. Thanks so much for listening.